1 Peter 3:8-9. We are family. And that's our theme of this month, that we are family. I kind of took that literally, went home to visit my family way down there in Nova Scotia, and just to honor my mom and help her out. And I was grateful that I was able to do that. And it's important that we honor our families. And that's what we are here today. You are family. So 1 Peter 3:8-9 is what we're going to look at this morning as we continue this theme throughout this month. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You for this family. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we are thankful for this family. We have a good family right here, Lord. And we're thankful for this family. And God, I just pray that as we have this series this month, that, Lord, that You would bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken. And that, Lord, that You would draw us closer together. And that, Lord, that You'd take us to that place where we appreciate one another more, we'd love one another more, we would care for one another more. Because, Lord, we got a good family. And we want to keep our family. And we want to make our family better. So I pray that, Lord, You would just guide us in this word here today and the messages throughout this month, that, Lord, as we just focus upon family. So this morning, I just want to continue on this theme of we are family. The church and the people of this church, you need to realize that you are family. And we welcome all who are here today, that if this is your first time or second time or you're new in this place, we want to welcome you and invite you to join with us to be part of this family. Our vision is to reach, teach, love. And that begins by being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to be a disciple of Christ is to be part of the family of Christ. Our Jesus' message of being a disciple is really what it involves is learning to make more disciples. That's what God wants us to do. To be a disciple, you're to make more disciples. That's really the mission of the church, to be followers of Christ, to be part of the family of God. And that's basically what reach, teach, love comes down to, is inviting more people into our family. And we want to do that better. We want to do that right here in our own family here in this church. We want to do a better job inviting people into our family. See, we have a good church, and we want to make our church better. We're really looking at some improvements that we can make in our church, and that's kind of our focus right now, of doing a better job of being family. And we really do. We want to connect better. We want to love better. We want to encourage one another better. We want to pray better. We want to serve better. We want to draw closer together in this place and in this body. And to do that, it just doesn't require one or two people. It's not going to happen just because we put up a big sign or because we're speaking about it. It'll happen as we all respond and do together and participate together, working together to make our family the best it can be. Our world today is a world that's all about the individual. It's all about me in our world today. And if we're not careful, that can creep into the church, where we end up focusing on all of our likes and dislikes, our wants, our activities, our pleasures, our friends, our own families, that we kind of forget that we have another family, the family of God that is all around us. Sometimes, you know, we get comfortable with the family that we have, and we forget that the mission of the family of God is to invite more people into the family. That's really our mission, to invite more people into the family. And again, so if you're new here this morning, we welcome you and we want you to be a part, and we welcome you to be a part of this family. See, we always should be looking to add to the family of God. That means we need to continue to reach out to people that are in our family, but also reach out to people that are not in our family yet, that we might bring more people into the family. We need to be sharing our faith. We need to be inviting people to be part of our family. Our whole lives really need to be focused on adding people to our family. And if we would be honest this morning, I think much of our focus, even though we may say, well, yeah, we're Christians and you know we desire to honor God and live for God, when it really comes down, a lot of times we do things because we want to do those things. And sometimes we end up pursuing things that maybe are not really that which is best for our lives, because we're not getting to that place where we're remembering that we have a family that we're supposed to be working on. Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples of all nations. The mission of the family of God, again, very simple, is to go out and invite people to be part of the family. And so as we think about that, that's a calling that Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:19, how are we doing in that area? How are we sharing our faith with other people? Are we inviting people out to the house of God? Are we inviting people out to some Bible studies or social activities that we're doing? Are we reaching out to touch others with a purpose that we might bring them into the family of God? When was the last time that you invited somebody to church? When's the last time that you talked to somebody who's not a Christian about Christianity? See, those are kind of things that we really need to do. God calls us to continue to do those things. God's family is never to be cut off, to say, oh, we have enough. There's never enough. No church should ever get to that place to say, we're content with what we have. There should never be that kind of a contentment in church. We always should desire to keep inviting more and more people to Jesus. I wonder what would happen if we all got back to that mission of Christ to reach out, to invite more people to be part of the family of God. I wonder if we would, what would happen if we would take time before we make our decisions to participate in all these other activities, because our world is filled with activities. I find it interesting today when you talk to people about church and about God that you very quickly find out that they don't have any room for God, because they have so many activities in their lives that they can't make room for God. They're too busy. And we need to be careful of that we as Christians don't fall in that same trap, that we get so busy that we don't fulfill our mission to reach out and touch others and add to the family. I really think that we really seriously need to look at what we do. I really think we need to apply our mission just not as a church, because if we just apply it as a church, it's not going to work. You have to apply it in your home. We have to apply it in each of our own lives. That we would set aside activities that take our time away from our mission to invite more people to be part of the family. You know, even as we look at our own church here, you know, sometimes, you know, we have great worship. We have wonderful people leading us here in worship that are faithful, that keep coming. They keep practicing. They're here all the time. And you know, they really work hard at that. But sometimes we just come and we just enjoy church. We just come and, you know, we enjoy worship. We enjoy the word. We enjoy talking with a few people. But are we paying attention to our family? Are we paying attention to the people that are around us? And as we look around us in this church today, I can guarantee you that there's people here today that you don't know, that have maybe been in this church for even a long time and you still don't know who they are. As a family, we need to get to know our family. We really need to make that effort to make sure that we realize who one another is, and that we welcome one another, we care for one another, we find out the needs of one another, because there's a lot of needs right now that are going on in our own church. Some people in this church are lonely. They're fighting loneliness. They're fighting depression. Some people are hurting and going through a really tough time in their lives right now. Some people are battling some sicknesses. Anita, Greg Loberg, very serious illnesses and sicknesses right now. There's others as well. There's people that are battling with addictions. There's people here that are kind of looking to say, I wonder if people actually care. This is a place where people care about people. Some people are here today just wondering, we're going to give God a try. Is this God thing real or not? There are so many different circumstances in this body this morning. Do we know about those things? Do we care about those things? Do we care that some people are going through some very difficult situations right now? We need to be there for one another. You know, it's not enough that, you know, well, the pastor talked to them. And I try to be there. I can't be everywhere, but I try to be. I often pray, Lord, would you order my steps? Because the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And I always pray that, God, would you order my steps today? That I can be at the right places at the right time to minister to somebody or to minister to someone. And I do pray that often. But, you know, sometimes as I talk with people and they're going through something difficult, they sometimes ask me a very, very hard question. And they say, Pastor, where's the church? Pastor, where's the rest of the people? How come they're not coming to see me? How come they're not asking how I'm doing? So it's very important as family that we find out what's going on in each other's lives. Because family needs to look after family. Family should be interested in what's going on within the family. Family should care about family. Everyone should be important to us. And we should be constantly looking to add new people to our family. Not that we can brag about numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about fulfilling the Great Commission and filling the mission to reach and teach and love people in our world. So as a church body, here this morning, we want to do a better job. We want to do a better job at being family. And so we decided to take this month, and Christopher, he was kind of the catalyst on this one here. And so him starting last week, I think was a good, because he was kind of the catalyst of that. Let's focus on our family. Let's focus right here and what's going on right here. And let's focus on being a better family towards one another. And to do that, we're going to use this text that we read here in 1 Peter 3. And it kind of helps us to describe to us what we need to do to be a better family. And one of the first things that we need to do to be a better family, we need to be one. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other. See, in the body of Christ, the family of God, we need to be of one mind, one focus, one purpose, that we might glorify and honor God in everything that we do. We need to work together towards understanding one another and being sensitive to the needs of one another so that we can operate as one, not as a bunch of individuals, but as one. We need to become a single unit, working together in unity and in harmony. Much like a few weeks ago, I talked about the Navy SEALs and how that the Navy SEALs, they work as one unit. They do it for the sake of the brother next to them. And notice that they refer to that person next to them as a brother or a sister. They are trained not to think of themselves as individuals, but they're trained to think of themselves as one unit. Even though they are trained as experts in different areas, they still function as one. Each one values the man next to him more than himself and is willing to die for a cause bigger than himself. And that's what we need as a church. We need to work in this, that we as a church would operate as one unit. Yes, we'll have different gifts. Yes, we'll have different talents. But we come together and operate together as one. And if we want to go forward to experience all that God has for us, then we really need to focus on unity, coming together, moving forward together, having one another's backs as we take measures to fulfill the great commission of reaching and teaching and loving our world. And this is something that's very important to Christ, that we need to be one. We need to be united, working as one unit. This was really the prayer of Jesus when he was praying for his followers and for his disciples and for all those that would follow later. He says in John 18, 21, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And so what Jesus is praying, he's saying, Lord, I'm praying that all the followers of God, they'll be the same as you and I. Father, Son, we're one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity is one. One plus one plus one that the kids sing on Thursday night equals one. We're one. And that's what Jesus is saying. I desire that the family of God would operate as one. And so Jesus prayed that for us. And interesting, as you think of that oneness, see, oneness is also extended down into our relationships. It's interesting that even in marriage, that God says you are one. That a husband and a wife, as they come together, they become one. They're to work together to be one. The two shall become one flesh. And in marriage, we're to act as one. We're to come into agreement with each other. We're to have a united front. We're to talk about things and agree on things that we can act together as a united front. And of course, to help us do that, include God in your marriage. And then you have the Trinity. You have the husband, the wife, and God, a Trinity where you act as one. A cord, the Bible says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So many problems happen in our marriages because God is left out of the equation and we don't desire to work as one. Rather, we like to work as I want this, I want that. And we have all these struggles in marriage because we're not coming together as one. Even in our dating, when you know, if you're a person here today and you're not married yet, but you're looking to be married, then you need to be looking for someone that is a believer so that you can be one with them. You can't be one with someone that's not even a Christian. The Bible says you're being unequally yoked if you're going to go that route. Oneness is so very, very important. As Christians, we're called to oneness, togetherness, unity, harmony, acting as one unit. And if our oneness is out of whack, then obviously there's a submission issue to the God that we serve, the God of one. So if we want to be a better family, we need to start working on being one. We need to start working on being unified. We need to be working on acting as a single unit, being united with our God. That's an important step that the Bible tells us must take place and happen in their lives. Secondly, in being a better family in the house of God, we actually need to be family. We need to treat one another as literal family. 1 Peter 3:8 again, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters. It's in very clear language to be of the family of God. We're supposed to love one another as a literal family, as brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. All through Scripture, the family of God is referred to as brothers, sisters. And if you're a little bit older here in the church and you've been brought up in the church, for those who are my age and older, you would remember that when you were in church, that you greeted one another as brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. That used to be for years that people would do that because we would recognize the fact that, you know what, we're family. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are family. And all through the Bible, it does refer to that fact that we are family. As believers, we've all been adopted into the family of God, something that has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And so when we're looking at each other and our relationships to one another, do you realize that we're all blood relatives here this morning. I know we all look differently. We all have different moms and dads, but we're all blood relatives. We're blood brothers. We're blood sisters because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us the same. The blood of Jesus makes us the same. So we are blood-bought family. And therefore, we indeed should consider ourselves as the family of God. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. That's who we are. We are family, and we need to be treating one another as a literal family, brothers and sisters. Jesus makes it very clear that this is to be so. Back in Mark chapter 3, 33 to 35, Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, and some people came in and said, "Hey, your family is outside, and they want to speak to you." And Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he looked at those around him and said, "Look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." So whatever way you want to look at it this morning, as a family of God, literally we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. We're blood brothers. We're blood sisters. We're blood mothers and fathers to one another. And we need to be that. We need to be those spiritual brothers, those spiritual sisters, those spiritual moms, those spiritual dads. We need to care about each other and love each other as a close family would. We need to stand up for one another and help one another as family, because we really are connected by blood. When someone in the family is blessed, rejoice with them. If somebody is hurting or someone's going through a difficult time, then we mourn with them, we weep with them, we cry with them. A big issue that's facing many in the body of Christ today is when our church family remains silent in a time of need. And that seems to be happening more and more in our culture. We're becoming more and more private. And we kind of look at things, oh, that's their problem. I'm okay because it's their problem. No, it's all of our problems. We're family. And we can't remain silent. We need to be there for one another. We really do need to get behind one another. There are people in our church here today who are hurting. There are people here who are sick. There are people here who are struggling with life. There are people here that have gone through divorce. There are people here who are lonely. There are people here that are struggling in other areas of their lives. There's people here struggling with finances. There's people struggling with all kinds of different things. You know, and sometimes we'll sympathize with those people, but that's all we do. See, compassion is more than that. Compassion is having sympathy with the urge to help and volunteering to help. What can I do to help you? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in this church today that could sure use those words. What can I do to help you today? There are people here that need our support. There are people here that need our prayers. And let me tell you something. When things go wrong in life and you have a wonderful church family and they come around you and support you during that time, let me tell you, that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. It really is. But we need to be doing that for everyone. Everyone here. You know, we have a great church here. We have a great supporting church here. We just need to do a better job of supporting one another. Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Do you realize the scripture reminds us that we need to be paying attention to our own household of faith? Sometimes we like to pay attention to everything else that's going out there around the world. And God said, you need to pay attention to what's going on right beside you. To be that brother, that sister, to be that mother or that father. It's one of the callings as believers that we have in the kingdom of God and to be part of family. Thirdly, in being a better family, we need to be caring. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. We need to be watching over one another. We need to be concerned about one another and what's going on in their lives. We need to make sure that people aren't standing alone. It's a terrible thing to feel alone. And that's one of the things that the enemy loves to do. He likes to isolate us. He likes to get us to that place where we feel that we're all alone and that nobody else cares. That's a trick of the enemy. As a family of God, that's what we're supposed to be doing, to make sure that doesn't happen. So we need to be tender-hearted, quick to sympathize with others, quick to be compassionate, quick to listen, quick to help other people. Colossians 3:12 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Those are the qualities that should characterize our lives, all qualities that fulfill compassion, our caring for one another, kindness, gentleness, love, patience with one another. And then the Bible includes that other word, humility, when we deal with one another. What is humility? It's just simply recognizing that we all have faults and that we all have failures, and that having a consciousness of our own defects, our own shortcomings, will help us to minister and to help other people. So it's willing to work with others, giving grace to others. It's not all about me, so much about me today, what one wants. It should be what's best for the family. What's best for the family? That needs to be our focus. What's best for the family? It's one of the things that as a pastor, as a shepherd, that's one of the difficulties that you face, because as a pastor, you hear about all the likes. You hear about all the dislikes. You're praying and seeking God for what he wants. And then you're supposed to take all of that and make it into one happy family. That sometimes is pretty hard to do. But that's exactly what we are to do. It's about us. It's not about me. It's about we, our family. So to be a better family, we need to be more gentle. We need to be more patient, more loving, more understanding, giving grace to one another, having compassion, caring for people. Those are the qualities of caring that will make us a better family. Then lastly, in being a better family, we need to be a blessing to one another, making a conscious effort to bless one another. 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. If you want to be blessed, speak blessings. Be a blessing to somebody else. See, our perspective is not to give people a piece of our mind or to get even when people say things they shouldn't say or things happen. But it's rather that we should be looking for ways to bless. To bless one another. It is good to bless one another. To bless someone is to praise them. To bless someone is to speak divine favor over them. To bless someone is to speak protection over them. To bless someone is to give them something. Even to speak prosperity over them. As a family, we are to respond to a higher level, avoiding traps of criticism, insults, complaining, cursing. Family is to respond differently. And blessing is one of those things that should be on the top of our list. James speaks of this concerning the problem that we have in this area with our own tongues. He says in James 3, 9 and 10, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this isn't right. It's not right for brothers and sisters to curse one another. It's right for brothers and sisters to bless one another. Our focus is to be one of blessing. And it's interesting that as you look at this, it tells us that as we take those steps to bless, God then looks upon us and releases blessing over our lives. So as we take those steps to bless people, even people who are undeserving, God will remember that and be a blessing and speak blessing over our lives. So blessing is really to our benefit, because blessings get extended back to us. So as a family of God, let's determine to bless people. And as Galatians 6:10 says, we already read that, but just to read it again, it says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. There are so many people out there today that are trying to get you to focus all over the world. And it's wonderful that you can help people in need all over the world. But the Bible very clearly tells us that the first place we need to be looking at is right here. Right in our own body. Blessing our own people. Before you start blessing the world, make sure you're blessing the world that you're living in. The people that you're living with. Because that's where it's supposed to start. Those are the people. You know, as you look to the Bible, it tells us that the early church, there was no lack in the church. The church didn't have to ask for any money because people were tithing. People were giving to the church. The church had its needs met. But it also went further than that because it says that the people of God also had no lack. How did that happen? Because the church, people of the church, were looking after one another and helping one another. So let's make a choice to bless people, that we might be a better family and a better church. Friends, this morning as we close, we do want to be a better church. We want to be a better family. And that's why we took this focus this month, to get ourselves, change our thinking, and start focusing on the body right here, the people that God has given us right here. I really believe that there is going to be an influx of new people. I see some of you here today that I haven't met yet. God is drawing you. God's going to be drawing a lot more people because God desires that all would be saved and come into the kingdom of God, that would come into the family of God. Our job is to be inviting more people to be part of our family. That's our job. Now, I realize we're not a perfect church. Probably never will be a perfect church. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to be a better church, to reach out to people in better ways, to improve, and to keep working on areas. Our family has room for more. And we need more people to accomplish what God really wants to do in this community and this area. We want to work on being one. We want to work on being a family. Brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. We want to work on the caring part. We want to work on being a blessing to one another. And of late, there's been just so many people in our church that have been really going through a lot of tough situations and circumstances. Some of them, it's sickness. Some of them, it's marriages. Some of them, it's just dealing with some life issues. Some people are dealing with family issues. There's a lot of things going on right now. Some people are lonely. Some people are discouraged. Some people, if we would take the time to talk to them, you'd find out that they just need somebody just to be there for them. And so I thought as we close this service and before we went into communion and before we got the kids to come back, that if I could just ask, if you could just put up your hand, if you have a pressing need today, you don't have to say what it is, but if you could just put up your hand and say, you know, I have a need today. I got a situation I'm going through today, and I could really use prayer. Could you just raise those up high? We're family, remember that. We're family. Now I'm going to ask you to do something as we close here. I want you to look to see where those hands are, so keep those hands up. I'm going to ask that those that are around there, if you could just maybe come forward and just put your hand on their shoulder, just lightly, that they might know that, you know, there's some people here that are going to agree with them and pray for them. And so if you wouldn't mind us doing that, that's how we're going to end this service and then go into our communion. So those that are, just keep those hands raised. Make sure you look around and just put your hand on somebody so they know that somebody else cares today. Can we just do that? Yeah. Make sure we get everybody. You're a family. People are hurting. People are going through some tough stuff. We need to be agreeing with them and praying for them. Jesus, I thank you for the family of God. I thank you that, Lord, they are a huge blessing. I thank you, Lord, because I love to be in your presence and I love to be with your people. I love to worship together with your people. But, Lord, there's a lot of our people going through some pretty tough things right now. And God, I just want to come against that enemy. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, devil, that you're trying to rob and kill and destroy. I rebuke you, devil, that you're trying to create havoc and destroy relationships, friendships, family. You're trying to destroy us through sickness and disease. We rebuke those things in the name of Jesus today, and we speak healing. We speak comfort today. We speak strength today. We speak peace today. We speak hope today in Jesus' name. We come against loneliness and we break off that spirit of loneliness. And we pray that, God, that people would sense that there are others around them. That, Lord, that hand that's upon them today, that is just a symbol, a physical touch, that there's others that care about you, that you're important. You're part of a family, a bigger family. A blood-bought family. We are blood brothers. We are blood sisters through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we just speak healing today. We speak hope today, encouragement today, peace today, whatever the need might be. God, I also pray that you would impress upon each one of us this week somebody else in this church to call, to contact. And just to call them to say, you know what, you came to my mind today. And that we could ask them, is there something I could pray for you for or something that I can do for you? That we would avail ourselves and that we would listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can guide each one of us here. That we can minister one to another. So I really encourage you, pray this week. Ask God to lay someone on your heart that you might call them, or you might see them, or go for a coffee, or invite them out for lunch, or whatever, that they would know they're not alone. That should be forbidden in this church, that anyone would sense that they're alone. So God, we just bless each one here that has that need today, and we just ask you're going to minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, our kids have come back in with us. And one of the things we want to do, we want to celebrate communion together. And communion is also about oneness. It talks about